First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 24th, 2021, Mark chapter 14, Anguish.
Please rise and join me in reading Mark 14:35 through 36. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You may be seated.
I want to give you some comfort today. See, this mild-mannered woman, how can she be safe? How will she be protected? How to stay safe in the world today? One, avoiding riding in automobiles because responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water, because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of deaths occur in hospitals. Above all else, avoid hospitals. You'll be pleased to see that only 0.001% of all deaths. Yes. Occur in worship services in church. These are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you at any given point in time is at church. Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible studies is even less. This is the viewpoint of the Garden of Gethsemane from external to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's eastern Golden Gate from Gethsemane's perspective. They came to a place named Gethsemane. Why didn't Jesus arrange it so that he could be immediately arrested, come to Gethsemane, get arrested, and be done with it? Possibly to establish, I am too fast. Okay. Possibly to establish Jesus has control and is a captain of all destiny, but no. The better response is to give us a glimpse as a perfect soul suffered agony and faced death, so we can learn from him. The title of my sermon is Anguish. I hesitate to psychoanalyze Jesus is inappropriate, but he confesses, admits things to his followers, the compatriots that he has accompanying him, and I was telling Daniel getting coffee. People still say that Jesus had a death wish, that Jesus, beyond what his father willed, was determined to die for any reason. This is wrong. Gethsemane, the place, out in the side of a Mount of Olives, where we can't discover specifically the location of the Garden of Gethsemane. It could be numerous places. Numerous groups have a vested interest to say, oh, look, it is the real Garden of Gethsemane. Won't you buy a little pressed olive oil? Well, the Romans, by the way, cleared the trees for a distance of about 11 miles due to Roman construction. So the trees that are there were almost wiped out because of the Romans. But there seemed to be some olive trees standing in a grove. And so the traditional olive press is correct, but I don't know where it was. Jesus, however, tended to select this place because it was quiet, secluded, and he wanted to be with the 11. Eight of them didn't accompany him to the farthest part. Peter, James, and John did. But it was quiet, and he had the custom to go out and pray. And Judas knew it, and Judas planned to meet him at the secluded spot of prayer. Gethsemane is from a Hebrew word meaning olive press. The community would come here and make olive oil. The traditional way is so indicated. Probably was or had a considerable grove of olive trees that was rare because of the condition of the Romans, but he traditionally left a store of olive trees for this purpose, surrounding a surrounding stone wall. It was a secluded place, as it noted, a building for tools, and, of course, an olive press. Jesus arrived at the garden with 11 of his disciples. He took Peter, James, and John, leaving eight, as he entered because he expected them to be supporting him in prayer. They came as witnesses of his agony. I'll be looking at some verses to describe that. And I believe, to satisfy the cravings of his soul for sympathetic companionship and support in his struggle. Jesus needed friends. They needed him too. But Jesus sought support of his friends, his closest friends, in his time of struggle, even as he prayed. He sought support of close friends. Jesus is feeling concerned about it. I noted that he needed these men, and they needed him. 14:33 is quoted. Distressed. The Bible is translated as always understated. Distressed means filled with horror. Imagine if you're in the hospital and they say you have cancer. Imagine if you're at the hospital and they say you've just had a heart attack. My mild stroke is nothing to compare with these words. Jesus knew what was happening to him. Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus knew it would be a painful death, a torturous death. And we get a glimpse into Jesus' understanding because he was filled with horror as an individual because of what he was going to suffer. Troubled means loathing. He didn't just not like it. He hated the idea of his father asking him to die. The New Testament has three words to describe depression: full of anguish. This is the most serious word to describe the mental state of Jesus. He was troubled. He hated the idea. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. Did not conceal his agitation. Gave it expression. He talked about it. Rare is the occasion for Jesus' soul to be mentioned. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Exceeding sorrowful, amazed. Describes the grip of horror and dreadful perspective. He was going to die. He was going to be killed. He was going to be tortured to death. To death, sorrow threatened to crush out his life. And he was driven to the ends of human endurance. And he went a little beyond and fell to the ground. Another understatement, fell to the ground, and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. He left Peter, James, and John and asked them to be alert. I believe that he was asking them to support him in prayer. And he prayed himself. He wanted to be alone. Fell is meaning collapse. He threw himself to the ground, prostrate, as a sign of devotion. We don't do this generally. I sometimes am moved to do it, but your physical body's description is a sign of deep feelings. Sometimes you kneel in prayer. Sometimes you fall prostrate before God in prayer. Jesus laid down as a sign of devotion to his God. It says, threw himself to the ground, vividly describing how much he knew his life was in the Father's hands. Jesus' soul could only find strength in prayer to his Father. He saw that God allowed everything to be possible. But he knew that he was going to die. He was going to suffer. He was going to be crucified. He knew that God could do anything, anything he wanted. He wanted to demonstrate complete confidence yet submission. But he knew that the process was going to begin now. He would be dead in about 15 hours. And saw that the appointed time, the hour of his sacrificial death was coming. Isaac was delivered by God through an angel. And I think that Jesus wanted the same. He asked God to remove this quote-unquote cup, this terrible experience from him. He knew that Isaac was delivered from the hand of Abraham. He was willing to do it and was committed to do it. But no one, even the Son of God, no one wants to suffer. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet, not I will, but what you will. Yet means nevertheless. A strong contrast between what Jesus wanted and yet what his Father demanded. Not I, you. The words express submission to his Father and his God clearly comes to the forefront and guides his actions. Three others, three times. Three times Jesus left Peter, James, and John to pray. The first two times Jesus chides them, not angry words, but, he wanted them to support him in prayer by staying awake. And they'd had a big day. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, sent out Judas, It's late. It's probably past midnight. And not praying to guard their own souls. Remember, Jesus previously said, all of you will be tested. All of you will be tempted. All of you will be challenged because I'm going to die. Peter is pointed out particularly. But they needed to pray for Jesus and for themselves, because Jesus knew that they would be shaken to the ground in faith. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. A gracious apology for their failure. They were tired. They didn't know how to answer them. After the third prayer session, he says, it is enough. Meaning it's time to wake up. Enough sleeping. The hour that he feared, the hour that he was troubled, the hour that would put things in motion was come. The long waiting crisis. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And Jesus goes forward to meet them. For us, I can't overemphasize how good it is to have a friend, yes? Even Jesus counted on his friends. Companionship, spending time with someone, is one of the greatest things that we can either get or give in this life and possibly the next. Personal agony may find its only relief in prayer. Encourage your friends to stay true to God as they help you during your struggle. You have not prayed enough. I believe this. You have not prayed enough until you achieve peace in your circumstance that enables you to face the situation head on. I have some interesting conclusions. Who is that? Who is that? Scooby-Doo! The TV show cartoon Scooby-Doo spoke about Shaggy, Fred, Daphne, Velma, and their dog, the gang is called, always getting in trouble, investigating their mission. And the gang would always catch the villain. The villain sometimes was a janitor, a teacher, someone that you would least expect. You're familiar with this book? The Monster at the End of This Book, starring lovable, furry, old, yes? Grover. And he makes a presentation that, you shouldn't come to the end of this book. You shouldn't turn the pages because there's a monster at the end of the book. Well, it's me. Well, look at that. This is the end of the book, and there's only one here, me. Lovable, furry, old Grover am the monster at the end of this book. And you were so scared. I told you there is nothing to be afraid about. This picture of the past. Grover and Scooby-Doo teach precisely what Christianity has been trying to teach us about Good Friday. The villain and the monster aren't who we thought they were. In the gospel stories, everyone falls. Everyone sins against Christ. Even the best disciples, aka Peter, even the good guys, in the end, the villain who required the death of Christ is us.